Monday. Welcome in for another episode of Roll Digs, the official Montana Tech athletic podcast. I'm Paul Panisco, and we have a fun one here today as, I will always think of my next guest, and a gentleman by the name of Chuck Merrifield. I will always think of him as an athletic director. He was a phenomenal athletic director at Butte High School. I believe 27 years in that position at Butte High. He fought for everything that, you know, the kids wanted, basically, and made it the best experience possible for student athletes at Butte High School. And again, I thought he was fantastic in that job. So I almost just called him AD, but he is now our head track coach. So we have head track coach Chuck Merrifield on the program. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about his time at Butte High School as an AD, but we'll also talk about that transition. You know, he certainly has a great history and a great family tradition of coaching, teaching, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the transition to coaching full-time and, you know, kind of what's on the horizon for Montana Tech Track. Our guest this week is Chuck Merrifield. And without further ado, Chuck, how you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me today.
That still is awkward. I don't think I ever would have imagined a world where, like, our offices would be about 60 feet apart. I'm not going to lie. That's just so strange to me.
It's been a whirlwind of a year. I surprised myself. I think everybody's a little bit surprised on how it happened this year. But
And we'll get into it all. I mean, yeah. I want to talk about what led you to the decision, but we have to start with your job as an AD at Butte High School.
Yes.
You know, you and I worked. You had to deal with my BS. Basically all 27 years at Butte High.
And you know, the best part is that you made me look good even then. Everybody was like, how do you get the radio to hook up to the NFHS stream? And you guys in Butte are awesome. And I'm like, yeah, that's us. That's me.
Well, and you were so good at your job. And I loathe to tell anybody that to their face, and especially you. But you were exceptional at your job as an AD. And the reason I say that is you always had the kids at heart. Every decision you made was for what was best for the kids.
Yeah, and the whole thing about it is I was lucky. I mean, Butte's a great sports town, and I had the chance to surround myself with some great people, all the way down to the radio stations. You guys were making me look good on a weekly basis. The people that I followed, Bill Osborne, he was a great help to me.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great athletic director, and I always could lean back on him. You know, coaching track, I got to follow my dad.
Yep.
Got to be around him for a lot of years. And then Harry Gray comes in. Great person, great coach. Just surrounding yourself with great people. It was a nice ride.
Yeah. I always think of, you know, the big decisions that the MHSA has come to, and I know that you were, you know, the champion for the bulk of them. I think of, the shot clock and baseball. I know baseball was a huge one for you and making sure that Butte and Butte High were part of that to start. You know, and those are just recent ones. I go back to the one I will also – I mean, this feels like we're just going to sit here and talk about Chuck and the things he did. But the other one that meant a lot to me was during COVID. You were very adamant about the rules being followed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not sure people realize how tight you were to that and how stringent you were to make sure that all the rules are followed. So, again, that the kids got to play their games and got to get going.
And, you know, there was a lot of people that weren't very happy. But when it came down to it, we have to follow this so your kids have a chance to compete. And, you know, I felt bad for people that couldn't come watch.
Yep.
But we did have the streams. But when it came straight down to it, it was either follow the rules or the kids didn't get to compete. And I was very stringent. But it was very stringent because I cared about the kids being able to come into the building and get it done.
And I appreciated it. I you know, with traveling like we did, that was not the case all the time. So yeah. I think you always had the kids' interest at heart, and I always appreciate that about your job. Is there a more thankless job than an athletic director at a high school?
There's a lot of times where you wonder why you're doing what you do.
Just Monday through Friday and some Saturdays?
But there's times, and there's a lot of instances you can bring up that you look back on and say it was all worth it, you know.
What are some of the things that, like now, you look back at your years, what are the things that you're really proud of as an AD at Butte High School?
You know, there's little things. One that always pops into my mind was not the state championship year. It was the year before when Zach Bunny comes back.
Yep.
And scores.
Against Billings-Skyview?
Yes. And I think it was actually Missoula Sentinel.
Was it Sentinel?
I think they were in at the east end zone.
Yep.
And they were, what did they hand the ball to him three times in a row?
Yeah, I think so. From inside the, because it didn't start at like the one. It was like the two maybe-ish somewhere in there.
And it was, that was pretty special.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that.
Yeah.
You can go back and look at all the state championship games that we got to follow with the girls and the boys. State championships, but the little stuff upsetting people in playoff games.
Yes.
To go to state when we haven't been there for so long.
Yeah.
Just that there were some neat times, and it wasn't always the high profile ones, but it was the little stuff, even practices, you know, go in and see kids having breakout days in practice, working out summer times, you know, in the weight room, out on the turf when they're,
yeah,
doing the stuff behind the scenes. It's it was watching the process, and the process leads to the end. But seeing Eric Gray and my father, the coaches, when they're teaching kids to love the process, just how they that was the stuff. The behind the scenes stuff was more important.
The stuff that will be with you. That builds character and builds people.
Yes. Yeah. It's neat. And watching, I think really that down at Butte High School, we had a staff that is there for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a kid battling back from injury, the Zach Bunnies, the Jake Dennehy's, I mean, just all that little stuff where the coaches put the kids above everything else.
Yeah,
you know,
and you've always surrounded yourself with those same people, and I think it's natural to like-minded people to make sure that they're there, but you've always done a really good job of that and making sure that everybody is on your page.
Yeah, and you know, getting to be around the AAADs and the not even AAAs, Bs, Cs, it was pretty neat because you're looking at a whole bunch of people that they. Not very often do they get thanked for what they do.
Yeah, very rarely.
But it was neat to see the type of people that are in those jobs.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when you leave that group, you know, you're now a former member of that group. I don't even know how to say that.
Yeah.
Are you leave it in good hands? Like you walk out, you're like, all right, yeah, they, you know, the AA and the ADs have got this thing right.
Yeah, they there's a lot of people that are down on the AAADs. But when you look back on it, sometimes they don't have choices, you know.
Yeah.
They're all doing what they can for the best interests of the kids, but there's also sometimes that there's some mandates passed down. So, again, they're taking a beating for things that are happening, and it's not always their fault.
Yes, not always under their control.
And they are thinking they're doing what's best for kids.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You mentioned turf. I want to talk about the turf going in at Naranchi, if you don't mind. That felt like one, as a guy that certainly has been around the field when it was grass and before with Nedley, and you know, you think about the hard work that was put in to make sure that the grass somewhat stayed alive, especially somewhere on the hill, which is amazing in its own right. Was there a lot of pushback about putting turf in at Naranchi?
There was, but people didn't see the behind the scenes, and it actually was way before Ned. The caretaker, the one that loved it as much as anybody, was Dave Furco.
Okay.
You know?
Yep, that makes sense.
And they didn't see the blood, sweat, and tears that went in to get that to look like it did every year.
Yeah.
And you're looking, there were some years, $20,000, $30,000 just to sod it or seed it, top dress it. And then not only if you seed it instead of sod it, you don't seed it just once. You seed it, cover it. You're pulling the cover off. Is it gone? And then finally, we better do it again. So you pull it off. You'd seed it. You recover it. It was just – and Dave Furco, Ned Ellingwood, all those guys, they put their heart and soul into it.
Big time.
And then it had come down to the fact you're making some more enemies because somebody would want to use it during – June and July, and it's like,
nope, stay off.
There's if you want grass to grow, you got to stay off of it. And at the end of the season, you're looking at it and saying, now how are we going to get that back there again?
Yeah.
But you know, I think everybody understood that the turf. Yeah, they wanted to. Oh, we want to go back to the dirt and sawdust.
Exactly. Well, you know, we don't even want grass. Yeah. You know, we want nails and glass, and we want to be cleaning it up all the time.
It's kind of like everybody. I know there is some truth to that, but there's also that fact that, oh, they're throwing batteries. Well, they didn't throw batteries because they don't have any transistor radios anymore up in the stands. You know, we were not throwing batteries.
So are you trying to say that are you trying to say that the radio broadcast ran people away from radio? Hold on a second.
And I don't know back in the 70s and the 80s if there was batteries on the field, but I never found one on Naranchi. Never.
The pushback for turf, and granted, the older I get, I realize that most of it was maybe not fully tongue-in-cheek, but it was tongue-in-cheek, basically. You know, you're like, look at this thing. The work that has to go into it. The first time it freezes, the south side of the field is impossible. Oh, you know, from the hash marks to the sidelines, it might as well be wearing skates.
You do remember we had to paint we painted the sidelines purple. At the state championship game.
Okay.
Because it was all white and you couldn't get it off. So white didn't show up on white. So we painted the sideline to the football field for the semifinal and state championship game in 2012 purple.
So it's the CMR and then the championship?
Bozeman, yeah.
Okay.
So, and it was, all the stuff you had to do up there.
And it's crazy.
Turf, at least when you plowed it, then you could see some green.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. goodness. Well, we can move on from that a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell me about. Was this a process where you were looking at a retirement area? Like you're like, I want to be done here, and just start looking at what's. Talk about how that even the process of going. You know, I don't want to retire and be done. Now, what were the options that you were looking at, or what are things that you thought would be good for you? You'd be good for people, you know. It kind of, if you don't mind walking us through that a little bit.
Well, and it starts a long time ago. When I became an AD, I kind of lost two of my biggest passions, teaching and coaching. And so, all the way through, you start going, and I had that, always had a pull. Yeah. So I always coached track. I was coaching track. It was kind of not really supposed to be doing this.
Coaching, yeah, I got you.
I was not supposed to be doing it as far as my contract and stuff like that, but I told Chucky Jetty, as far back as Chucky Jetty, I'll take this, but I have to coach track.
Yeah.
I missed football. I missed basketball. But when my dad was there, it's always something. I'm going to coach track.
Yeah.
And, but it's the same thing when you're doing something that you really love and you can only be there some of the time. there's always that pull. So I always knew that I wanted to get back into teaching and or coaching. And in the last couple of years, I started looking. I was actually hunting for some track jobs, and I thought I could put the numbers together and make it work for me. And then I wasn't 100% that I was going to retire last summer.
Yeah.
And then this job came open, and I was like, that's it for me right there. And I kind of threw caution to the wind a little bit, and I knew if I did get a job, and I had some other applications out, and I had some other offers, but
one would assume
if I wanted to coach indoor track this year, I had to retire that day. I was like, I'm putting in for that when it comes open. So if I want to start coaching in December, I have to be done. And there are some other things that was, you know, the divisional tourneys, I kind of fought, kind of lost my age long fight there.
Yeah.
And, some things would bother me, and I'm like, it's time to go. My dad always told me the day I go to work and I don't feel like going there, that'll be the day I go.
Yeah.
And he did that. And it always sat in the back of my mind. And I woke up on a Monday morning at 6:30, and I called my boss and said, I'm done. And she's like, when? I said, next week. So that's kind of how it went. And luckily, the interview process went well, and now I'm living my dream job here.
I feel like someone that... I don't want to say I'm hard to surprise. I think I'm the most gullible person in the planet. So, I mean, like, April Fool's Day is my worst day of the year. But I feel somewhat jaded at times. And I was on the hiring committee for that. And I believe it was my first hiring committee. You know, yeah. I mean, Matt asked me to do it. And I'm like, okay. So he hands me the list of, you know, the people that put in. Yeah. And we're grading them and everything else. And I remember getting down the pile a little bit. And there you sit, and I felt like somebody punched me in the face. Like, I don't know why I wouldn't have expected it, but it was the absolute most unexpected thing that my Polish brain could even wrap my head around. Yeah, and then it was a little bit hard to be, you know, you try and go, okay, like, obviously he's got some credentials, and then calling your references were people that I know and love. I was surprised beyond belief to see your name in the mix.
Yeah. And it was something, you know, you look back on it and you come out of college and there's that whirlwind.
Yeah.
And you feel bad for these kids that are leaving high school, going to college. You feel bad for these ones that are leaving college, going to the workforce, because it's like lifelong decisions, like big life decisions, and they got to make it now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the process of going through things. And I got lucky. I really did. Everything kind of fell in place. I would have been in a better spot in my retirement if I would have waited until this month.
Okay.
But then I don't have this opportunity. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's things happen for a reason. And I think... there were some people looking out for me, and I don't know who it was, but I think my dad's up there in heaven smiling at me.
He'd have to be, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much of a line there between when the job opened and where you were. Was this an absolute no-brainer? Was this one? I mean, how many people did you – I assume you have that group of friends, those people that are around you, where you're like – I need to sit and have a beverage and we need to talk about this. Was there much of that, or was it just kind of like, nope, this is it, period?
Well, my wife and I had talked last year. There was an opportunity for me to go out to Washington where my son was running.
Okay.
And there was an opportunity, but it was nothing like this opportunity. And you couldn't make everything fall into place. And everything didn't fall into place for this. I kind of just decided – this is what I'm going to do, and to have a shot at doing something, I need to do it right now.
Yep.
If I don't get a job right now, it's not going to be the end of the world to me, but this is kind of – my wife is going to be here for another 6-7 years
okay.
teaching. before she can decide she wants to call it a career. And I really didn't want to be living in two different states.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but we were thinking about doing it because it's something I really wanted to do. But this fell into place and it was like a perfect fit.
So now that you are full-time, mm-hmm. Talk about that transition. You are such a structured guy.
Yeah.
You know, obviously as an AD, you have to be. And to be a successful AD, you really have to be. You come into this and you're running one program, man. Yeah. You certainly helped out a lot. We've seen you around the gym and everywhere else. But talk about how that transition has been to just being a track coach.
Well, and you know, the more you get into a job, the more you find out how much can be done.
Yeah.
And it's, everybody talks about these head coaches back in high school. And, you know, you look at the head football coaches in Texas, they might teach one class a day.
Yeah. I mean, might.
These head coaches in high schools, they are supermen, superwomen.
Yeah.
They are taking care of, especially in the big programs, the footballs, but you look at basketball and all that. All the time you see Coach Graham, Coach Hyatt watching film.
Yeah.
They're going 12 hours a day.
Yep.
And they're just running, you know, 25 kids. You know, when you go to track, the thing that's consuming time is trying to work practice schedules around kids. So instead of having one practice a day, you're having two and three practices a day.
Yeah.
And there's so much to do in these athletic programs that everybody's like, what do you do in your What's Coach Sampson doing in his off time? He doesn't have any off time. Let me tell you that.
Zero.
Right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Those guys are working their tails off all day, every day. And what do you do in the summertime? They're working their tails off. There's the nuts and bolts of those programs are time consuming and it consumes their lives, you know?
So, well, you're in that same boat now. Yeah, you know, you just get done with indoor,
yes.
Which, you know, goes by in a blink of an eye and a tremendous result with some All-Americans for Montana Tech. Great finishes. And, you know, you get about a heartbeat off and then we're into outdoor.
Yes. And now you're trying to, and just a little stuff between, I had a lot of good help at the high school with Pat Powers. And,
yeah.
Debbie Burns and Sherry Stewart and Shauna Clark. There's just all that little stuff behind the scenes that they did for me as far as motel reservations and bus reservations, all that stuff that you help. Now you come to a college program and it's you.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing the motels, you're doing the buses. And so I still can call those guys up and say, how did you do this? Where's the best places?
Nice.
Like that. So it's looking back and getting a lot of help. My new endeavor. It's been nice.
I would, to have that structure and people that, you know, are still, will still answer your call.
Yes.
That was probably eye-opening. You're like, ooh, they answered the phone. That's great. Thank you.
Good stuff. It's it was a good training, but it also makes me look back and be real thankful for the coaches that I had and the assistants I had.
Yeah.
Because they did a lot of work, you know, a lot of covering CYA. It was my A that they were covering.
And we're thankful for that.
Yes.
Very much so. As you, so talk about those first few steps as you get the team together. You know, you walk into a situation where you inherit really good programs.
Yes.
You know, the fact that, you know, the women have won the Frontier Conference outdoor for three straight years. The men have won it for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, well, the indoor will be full Frontier recognized next year. Talk about even that idea of getting to know your athletes, rounding out your roster, and you have tendrils everywhere. I mean, Merrifield name is, you know, the track love that your family has because you run every track event from here to Seattle and south to probably Arizona. Talk about how you're able to utilize that a little bit in getting meets and then also more importantly and selfishly getting athletes.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that I've been lucky is I've acquired a couple of good, you know, volunteer assistant coaches.
Okay.
And they've done wonders. I mean, Dan McGree is graciously, you know, when I first approached him, he's like, God, that sounds good, you know, and him and my father worked real close together, and,
yeah,
and they always had this training philosophy that's way different than a lot of people.
Okay.
And I said to him, I says, here's our chance, Dan. Let's put this all together and let's do it the way that you and my father always envisioned it. And he thought about it, and then he came up with these rules. Well, I can't do this and I can't do that, and you know, but I can do this. And all of a sudden, we were talking and laughing the other day. Rachel McGree, who is also graciously comes and helps when she's in town.
Nice.
She just graduated from law school down in California, you okay. know. And so anyhow, we were talking, and I says, you know, all those rules you said to me that you're not going to come during dinner time, you're not going to do it on the weekends, you're going to do this. I says, that went out the window. I says, you're all in, Dan. And he starts laughing. He's like, yeah. Yeah, and the first one that told me that was my daughter, Rach. She's like, you've got to do this. And then Harry Gray was like to Dan, you're going to, once you go, Dan, it's going to be full
steam. There's no, yeah, there's no half A. Like, there's no, you don't know anything other than full yes. speed.
So then Eric Zahler, the principal at West Elementary. Indeed. Now, he's been helping out with the high jumpers.
Okay.
And that's one of the biggest things that I think we had a lot of success, a lot of personal bests. I think everybody, for the most part, everybody is experiences their best season so far indoors. I mean, we've set more personal bests than I can count. The school records have been following.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like at least yeah. five every time you guys get on the track.
Yeah, it's kind of, and you know, the funny part is like, Morgan, I says, Morgan, wasn't that a school record right there? And he's like, Coach, every time I step out the track this year, I'm setting school records, he said.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, and it was, he was not being cocky. It's
no.
Just like, it seems like
it's good I'm to know.
Faster every time I step out on yeah. the track. And, you know, I was kind of giggling in our little team meeting at the end of the year. I says, okay, so Abby, who set the school record first? So it was, I think Jaden went out and set it, and then Abby set it, and then Jaden set it, and then Jaden said it, and Jaden said it, because Abby ended up redshirting,
yep.
so she can run. She's hoping to make a run at the first Frontier Conference Championships with everybody indoors.
Gotcha. You know? Okay.
So we're going to have Abby back, and Jaden's excited. She's got one more. She might redshirt this outdoor season, which is a little tough because we're losing a lot of points for this
yeah.
year, but
yeah, that's you know. Leave Jaden to watch. That's yeah. That's leaving a chunk of points off the table.
Yeah. So, but we've got some great young freshman girls coming in. Ayla Jansen came in. Lily Sullivan's out there throwing. Our distance girls are doing a great job. But we also have Emma Conan that's just getting done with
that silly basketball.
Yeah. That minor sport, as my dad used to say. So she's getting done. She's ready to practice because the red shirts aren't traveling. So she's coming to practice tomorrow. And I'm excited to watch them all get together, you know.
Yeah.
But Ayla Jansen, she set the school record in the triple jump and ends up going to nationals in the 60-meter hurdles. And they're just having a... It's just fun. This is a ton of fun.
That's important.
Yeah.
You know, that part might be lost, it feels like, at yeah. at the college level sometimes. It still should be a whole lot of fun.
Yes. And they're all like, they're healthy. They're getting better. And I can't take credit for it. They're working their butts off, but yeah. they're staying healthy. And I attribute that to Dan McGree and Charlie Merrifield coming up with this training program of we're going to be 100% healthy and 80% in shape, and we're going to let it fly.
Is that kind of the basis of it, is the yes. idea of remaining yeah. healthy over yes. everything else? Yes.
And just working on my father and Dan, they were always like, when track is all about practicing at race speed.
Okay.
And in order to practice at race speed, it's got to be high quality and low quantity. And everybody thinks, oh, it's the grind. It's this. Well, that was never the philosophy. It's when you come to practice, it's almost like competition. And it's got to be full out. And if you're starting to get tired, we need more rest. And quality's high, quantity's low. And we use the track meets as that's your conditioning days.
Okay.
Those are the days you're running the mile relays, the 400 hurdles, you're running the 200s, you're running the those are the days we need out of you, but we need you healthy to be there.
The other part that it feels like that would be helpful for, especially if you're kind of staging it like a meet, it feels like mentally that would help as well. You know, yeah. Where you're like, we're in competition, you know, yes. Instead of, you know, building up to those competition days, if you're looking at it like a competition, when you go full speed, yeah. it feels like those would help when it comes to actual competition.
Yes. And yesterday we got out on the track and we had, Morgan, our two top hurdlers.
Yep.
We actually got some more that are coming, nipping at their heels. But you should have seen those two competing yesterday. Morgan McLernan, Adam Schrader, and then we got Ayla and Jaden and Abby Clark. They're going head-to-head on the hurdles. And it was fun to watch because they're teammates. They love each other, but they hate getting beat by each other. It's fun to watch. So it's good. It's been a lot of fun.
Chuck Merrifield, ladies and gentlemen, head track coach here at Montana Tech. We talked about your approach a little bit, and I want to talk about the people around you again more. This is one of those where I'm Polish and not very bright, but it took me a little while to realize it. But, you know, Butte is a football town, and no one is going to argue that. But yep. I think even the step above that, personally, and it took me a while to get there, Butte is a track town and a very big, huge, heart-beating track town. You see it in the people that you surround yourself with. We see it in both of not only your staff here at Tech, but at Butte High and Butte Central. It's amazing how they're all kind of the same faces. But then you look at when you put a call out for volunteers.
Yeah,
you know, there isn't a track meet run that I have ever been to that is even a sliver of what is done here in Butte. And as I mentioned earlier, maybe even jokingly, but it's true where you know, your sister and your family have run track meets everywhere.
Yes.
And it's because of how good and the quality that thing is done. It's amazing to me how well of an oiled machine Butte, Montana is when it comes to track.
And when I was with the ADs, they'd always call me. How do you do this? How do you do that? And I'm like, hey, guys, I'm just behind the scenes. If you need to know that, you call Lisa, if you need to know that, you need to call Betty. But you look at all the people. I mean, the throws people that come out, they're committed to this town and these kids. And, you know, when Tech first approached me about forming Matt and I talked about forming a track team, and he's like, how would the district? And I says, you know, Judy Jonart, she's all about kids, athletics, all that stuff. Everybody that I talk to in the district and everybody that's around town, they're like, we've got to get this here because it's a chance for our kids and other kids to continue this program, the track and field lifestyle, a little bit past high school.
Yeah.
And you can't get that back, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great sport. And the one thing I love about it is there's nobody to look at when you're done competing besides yourself.
Yep.
Cade Van Vliet down in Nationals, that kid competed.
That dude is a monster.
Wow. What a weekend to have three PRs.
Yeah.
You know, I was giggling with him. I says, now, how many times did you set the school record in the shot? He's like, twice. I says, well, twice. You said it early on, and then you said it three times at Nationals. Oh, yeah, okay. He's like, so, okay, yeah, it was three. And I was like, well, only because throw two was before throw three, or you would have said it four times, you know. So, but that kid just went out and competed.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes out, didn't have a great first throw, and I'm like, oh, you know, you don't know how that's going to happen. But the next one, he comes out, boom. And then the one after that was big. Then
yeah.
All of a sudden, first throw in the finals, bang. I mean, the kid just kept jumping and jumping. And he almost got it. He almost got a national championship.
Yeah.
But
boy, how's that for motivation, though?
Wow.
When you're standing one rung under, yeah. you know, yeah. you're standing on that second spot. There isn't anything more motivating in the world than that one guy that's standing on the pedestal above you.
Yep. And, you know, he went down there and climbed the ladder, man. It was fun to watch, you know. And he'd had some highs and lows during the season. But Felicia Johnson, she did a great job. She just kept getting them better and better. We got some freshman girls that are just getting better and better, and it's just fun to watch how these guys are coaching.
I look at, you know, Felicia with her incredible history, and she keeps avoiding. She has a podcast of her own, and she's avoiding me about coming on here.
I says to somebody, I says, I haven't heard the podcast, and they're like, oh, it's Fifi, and I can't remember. I'm like, it's Fifi.
But when you watch the progress of the throwers since Felicia was hired, it is insane. Yes. Like, if the stock market climbed like that, we would be all like Elon Rich. Like, it's insane watching the progress of her throwers since she's been on staff. And like I say, that's just one cog in the machine, and she is a hell of a cog. But all of it, there isn't a person that has run a track meet in Butte, Montana, that has jumped into a sand pit that Dan McGree hasn't helped with. I mean, you think about that, it's insane.
It was beautiful because when I started thinking about this job, I called him and I said, hey, I can't do this unless I have some help here, you know, and do it right.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, is I've always tried to do things right.
Yep.
And everybody's like, oh, a track coach, you know, there is so much that goes in that the coaching that has to be done is so intensive.
Yeah.
What Jake Sundberg did last year is, I mean, unheard of, but it was
incredible.
Unrealistic to expect him to go out.
And yeah. You coach can't pack that
15 different events and try and be at every different. I mean, that, when you have that many events and that many different things to do, you really don't do justice to any of them. Mm-hmm. And he still found a way to win the Frontier Conference Championship. But now that we've got Dan helping, Eric Zahler, we got Rachel McGree coming once in a while. We've got Felicia. Now Felicia is focused on hers.
Yeah.
Jake can really focus on the distance and the multis. Yep. But we also have all these great minds. I mean, how many state champions and state placers did the Dan McGree coach,
you know,
Eric Zahler. I mean, he did a outstanding job coaching high jumpers at Butte High School, and he got to learn under one of the best. Tom Roberts was coming down and helping him. That's the one thing about Butte, Montana, that's nice about the track and field community, is they've always passed down their knowledge.
It's always been a community. Yeah, there's no individuals. There's no one packing the weight. It's make sure that everyone is getting the knowledge.
Yeah, and when you can break it down where you're coaching 2, 3, 4 different events, it's manageable. And I'm not saying that you cannot do it without help, but it is not what's best for the kids. And if you can find these type of people, I mean, Jaden is jumping out of the. I mean, she scratched a couple this year that were bombs, and she already hit some bombs. You know?
Yeah, no joke.
There was some more there was a couple there, and you know, Abby goes down to Idaho after playing volleyball all fall, and she has a week and a half of practice, and she hits a bomb. You know, it's just watching these guys and the kids when they're at practice and they're competing against each other, they don't want to lose, but
yeah,
they're cheering for each other. It's quite a family atmosphere. It's fun to watch.
What do you envision for this program moving forward? You know, you've got indoors done, you've got outdoors starting. What are your, I guess, kind of short-term vision? And then obviously the Frontier Conference is going to change drastically next year. Yes. Talk about even kind of the perspective on how that's going to change what you guys normally do.
Well, the whole thing is we've got to keep recruiting. We've got to keep getting these quality athletes, and we got to keep getting the athletes that want to get better, that want to buy into the process, and yeah, they want to get there. You know, winning back-to-back and three in a row in the Frontier Conference Championships, that's going to get an awful lot tougher.
Yeah.
I mean, we're bringing in some track and field programs into the Frontier Conference that have been 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, those Dakotas have had track and field programs, and they're going to be tough. It's going to a dogfight now. And not saying that
it hasn't been.
But now there's, instead of 4 and 5 teams, now we're jumping up to, there's a lot of teams out there. There's a lot of great recruiting. We want to keep being that premier program.
Yeah,
but it's getting a lot tougher here in the future.
Is it one of those where you look forward to the addition of all the schools, but it also that kind of firepower joining the conference, getting to the top of that's going to feel awful good.
Yes, and that'll be a ton of fun. And the one thing about it is, we don't want to just be looking for Frontier Conference championships. We want them.
Yeah.
But we also want to get the number of people going to nationals and competing in the All-Americans. We want to get there.
Yeah.
We want to get to where it's a national stage for this this college and these kids, you know.
And something that is done every year. You know, this is what we do. This is who we are.
Yeah.
And go.
And it's not something where we're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
We want to be going there to compete and become all Americans, you know.
It's amazing how that step, you know, that the idea of getting to nationals, there's so many steps to building a program, you know, where, you know, winning in conference is huge. And then you take that next step, you get some programs to the nationals, how important it is to get to nationals, and then trying to win at nationals as individuals, as teams. That's a hard, hard thing to get established.
And you know, that's one of the things that we were doing this year is it was like, we're just trying to make it. We want to make nationals. No, we don't want to make nationals. We want to go there and we want to compete, you know? And everybody's starting to see that a little bit now. We went down there and there were some guys that, they left with a little dirty taste in their mouth and they're like, I'm not coming back to do this again. I'm coming back to win. You know, and that was a good thing to hear from all those kids that went down there. We had some great performances, but they're not satisfied, and that's the best part about it. You know,
you see that in the workouts after they've gotten home,
and they're tugging at the bit. So it's fun. It'll be fun because I think that we also, now that the kids are kind of bought into the process a little bit, I think that we can expect them to come back from summer break in a different fashion than they did this year. I'm not sure that there was there was some, but I'm not sure that they came back in the type of situation that we wanted them. Now that when we can send them off to their hometowns, if they're not going to stick around Butte, Montana for the summer, I think they're going to understand what we want, what we need from them coming off a summer break.
Well, and it makes sense when you talk about the fact that they compete so hard with one another. Yes. You know, if they're in one of those mixes where they're dealing, you know, they're fighting with 3 or 4 teammates, they're going to look at themselves in the mirror and go, you know, so-and-so is definitely out putting the work in, so I had better as well.
Yes, and one of the things I'm looking at doing next year is, it's kind of a weird thing, we're looking into it, but you can start outdoor and indoor track practices September 1st.
Okay.
But down in the South, did you know that they do outdoor track meets to qualify for indoors?
No.
Yes. Because they're the whine and the cry down there. And I'm not saying that. They're
different environments.
They're different environments, and they don't have indoor facilities. And they're like, well, we got to travel 4 and 5 hours. And I'm like, we got to travel 4 and 5 hours, too. I mean, you know, if Bozeman's not hosting the meet, we've got to go to Spokane. We've got to go to Idaho. We've got to go to Pocatello. We have a chance maybe to host some indoor meets outdoors during end of September, October, and maybe get some qualifying marks then, so we're not having to, you know, do so much chasing, and we can focus on just simple things and not have to go chasing to Spokane and Moscow.
That said, you're looking at indoor events, so like 60 hurdles, and those that aren't done in the outdoor, just run outdoor. Yep. Are there any other adjustments time-wise or anything like that?
Well, that's one of the things I said to him when I was down at the national conference is you don't even have wind gauges. So that's a pretty good benefit to these kids is –
oh, joke.
You don't even have to measure the wind to qualify for a 60-meter. You know? And you're running a 200. You don't have to look at the wind.
Yeah.
And, well, we don't have anywhere to run. And I'm like, yeah, we don't either. You know, but anyhow.
Is that something you think, like, you're looking at for next year going?
Yeah. We're going to put together some, hopefully, if we can look. And that's one of the things I wanted to do with the outdoors here. And we didn't end up having, there's no open weekends, and I said to Tony Arnston and up in Providence and Harry Clark, and I talked to a couple other coaches. I says, let's not schedule meets. Let's just look at where the weather's the best and say, can you host one this week? You know, that's where I'd like to get.
Yeah.
Because right now we're kind of chasing. We're going to Billings next week, and then we go to Missoula. We have a week off. We go to Helena. No, Missoula, and then we have a hill on a one.
Okay.
And then we're already in the championship, so there's really nowhere to stick a meet in Butte, Montana, which is criminal.
Yeah, it is criminal.
But I'm hoping if there's weeks where it's really, really cold in Great Falls, maybe we can call them up and say, hey,
let's do it.
It's 70 degrees here. I'll host it. Let's go.
Yeah. And from an absolutely personal perspective, it's criminal that the conference beat isn't here, too.
Yeah, it is.
Criminal. It was so good last year, and the weather was so awful.
Oh, it was horrible.
But it still went off without an absolute hitch. It was wonderful. Yeah.
And that's one of the things. I know they want to get that conference meet done that week, but it's tough in Montana to just pick a week or a couple days, and it's like – if somebody's got some flexibility, let's throw it there, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm first-year guy going in with these ideas, and they're kind of looking
first-year guy. Yeah. You've been around the track for, 50 years, for goodness sake.
But I looked at them, and so they're wanting to host the the Frontier Conference indoors out in Brookings, and I'm like, why don't we ask MSU if we can host it, you know, and I said – the same coaches and let's see if we, and they're like, well, I don't know. So I just walked up to Leo at one of the indoor Leon Costello and just said, hey, would you be willing to let us put a bid in? Absolutely. That's what it's here for, you know? So,
well, that was tough.
Yeah. I'm like, so, but I don't know if it'll happen I think it's a 2-year rotation.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
So I don't know if they've put the bids in already, but in order to get a bid, we have to have a little bit more time than this. And I think they had to be in. But I'm hoping there's some options in 2 years that can get us closer to here.
And you know, there's going to be so much learned in all sports over the next 2 years.
Yes.
You know, you probably know infinitely better than I do that, you know, as far as from an AD perspective and, you know, logistics, we're thinking of so many things, but there are so many things that are going to fall through the cracks or so many things that we're like, wow, that was a bad idea. Let's try this instead. It's going to be a real learning curve with the Frontier Conference expansion next year.
It is. And the tough part about it is they're going to bring in their ideas.
Yep.
And it doesn't quite match some of these people over here. I'm not sure how many of the current Frontier schools that are actually going to go to the Frontier Conference championships. There's a couple of coaches are saying, we're not going out there. We're not doing this. And it's... we can't afford that, and that's one of the nice things is Montana Tech is committed to these kids, yeah. and we're going to go compete.
Yeah.
And that's what I told them. I said, we're going, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like, how many kids we're going to bring, things like that, but we're committed
it's gonna happen.
To go compete
yeah.
next year. We're going to go see where it all falls out. You know?
and there's a good segue. The way we make that happen is called through a thing called Digger Athletics yes. and the Digger Athletic Association, and our auction is coming up April 12th.
Yes.
the major fundraiser for Montana Tech Athletics. You can find out more how you can get your tickets and tables at godiggers.com. But, yeah, they, I mean, joking aside, the auction is coming up, and Matt Steppen and I will talk about the auction and everything along those lines. But that's how we make it work. I mean, yes. that's how we make sure these kids. Yes. We sent off two basketball teams this morning. You know, the women are off to the Dakotas. The men are down to California for national tournaments. We were talking about that. We have had all but one program thus far this year go to nationals.
It's what's happened on this campus in the last 10 years is amazing.
It's incredible.
I mean, the buildings are going up. The new turf. The Jumbotrons, they're going to update the hyper facilities.
Yep.
The whole campus is getting an upgrade.
Yeah.
I mean, this university, it's amazing to see what's happening.
You know, and we both are on this page, obviously, but I mean, athletics makes a campus better.
Absolutely.
And that said, it also brings a large chunk of students to campus. What are we just under 100 for track right now?
We're in the 80s to 90s.
Okay.
You know, depending on who's healthy and who's not. It's when I first heard how many was on the roster, I was like, oh wow. and it's great to see these kids have an opportunity to compete at the
yeah.
collegiate level. I mean, when Matt first put this in, I was like, that'd be great to see some kids being able to get this opportunity, and all of a sudden we're almost at 100, and we're
in basically 3 years.
Yes, and where's it going?
And that was kind of my next question. Yeah, what now that you're kind of in a little bit and entrenched, and I'm not going to say that you're fully in yet because I can't imagine you feel even remotely there. But when you envision this program to where you would like it to be, where's that number of – where do you think the student-athlete number is for the right number for track?
Well, you know, the whole thing is it's great they have the opportunity, and we're going to have walk-ons and stuff.
Yep.
But we'd like to see the number – I'd like to see it grow, but we also have to weigh in on how many we can travel, how many we yep. can afford and things like that. But it's going to go to that where we'd love giving walk-ons, but – we're also, you can walk on, you can train, you can get coached by some of the best coaches around.
Yeah.
But you got to make your way onto the traveling team.
Yeah.
It's like Matt and I talked. There's always that tough part about sports is that there is going to be cuts or you got to make the travel list.
Yep.
You've got to get to that point where you're competing for a spot on the team. And it's tough, but it's part of life.
Well, and it's certainly part of college athletics.
Yes. So as far as the roster size, I'm not afraid of seeing it grow. But as far as the travel lists and the travel size, we have to decide where we're going to move that to.
You know what
I mean?
But
we love walk-ons. You think, and it's like I told a lot of kids, it's like you decide where you climb to. And it'd be great to see – you have the ability to come out and be part of a college track and field program. Now let's see where you go to, you know.
Yeah.
And it's great to see all these kids signing, and it's going to be a great competition because these recruits see Montana Tech attended more track meets than any Frontier school because we're trying to give them the chance to succeed, you know.
Yeah.
But we didn't travel everybody every weekend, but we traveled the whole team three times, you know, which is pretty big in indoors. Not everybody travels everybody.
Yeah.
And we're committed to give these guys shots at getting to nationals, shots at competing and making themselves better.
Well, and that was a lot of when you're talking about split squads, that was a whole lot of logistics involved in that where you're splitting a squad to send you know, whether it's guys or gals or relay teams or whatever the case is, to try and get to that qualifying mark to get them to nationals. And, you know, it's not just load everybody on the bus and go. There is a lot of thought put into who's running where, who's throwing where, giving them the best chance.
And you look at the distance runners love the wooden track down at Pocatello. They love that wooden track. The throwers, those guys are awesome. They don't care where they go. I'm going to go throw that thing and give me a chance to throw it, and I'm gonna get after it, you know. And the jumpers, there's a lot of places that are better than others. Some have those raised runways. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some jumping places, and then there's some places where you jump. You know,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
It goes to that kind of shooter's gym mentality where
there you go.
All right, run. Give me some then. What is our track known for? Our track here in Butte, Montana, Charlie Merrifield. If people are talking about the Butte track, what is the track known for?
The whole thing is it's a spectators complex.
Okay.
I mean, there's no other place that it's the best spectating spot in the they have the. Now they have a video board.
They have a video board.
It went from a message center to a video board.
Yep.
Butte Track Club and some other donors that were lucky to have them around here because it's the best facility, and it's a fast track.
Okay.
You know, outdoors, there's not as much difference with the jumping.
Okay.
When you go to indoors, they have raised wooden runways that are covered by Mondo, and they're just springy. It was down at the University of Idaho this year. They have a bouncy one.
Okay.
Pocatello has a bouncy one. Spokane's a good jumping place, but it's not. I don't know that the jumpers think that that's the number one place.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there's different places.
I love that.
There's things fast tracks. There's tracks that are you run on. You know.
Yep.
And everybody's like, really? And it's like. Well, until you go out and run on it yourself at that speed, you'll never know.
Well, and I assume that is with every sport. You know, I brought up like a shooter's gym. I always used to bug JT about shooter's gyms. You know, like we talk about different gyms and why they're good or why they're bad. But the same goes with turf.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you, I was really shocked when we took the turf out, you know, the turf off of Bob Greenfield and we're replacing it. And you get to that point where you're like, oh, the turf is still good. And then we put the new turf down, and you're like, whoa, this is like an adjustable mattress. Like, wait a second, maybe it was time to change out Bob Green turf. You know, it's amazing how every one of those things has their own quirks or something they're known for.
Yep, and it's like Naranchi Stadium. If you're a fast team, you want to go from west to east.
Yep.
Because it drops about 6 feet in elevation from one end zone to the other. You know? And you never want to be at the start of the season. You never want to receive the kickoff in the west end zone because the sun's right in your eyes catching the football. So if you always look, usually Eric Gray's lined up kicking towards the west.
Towards the sun.
Yes.
Or into the sun, I should
yes,
say.
Yes, into the sun, because by the time the second quarter comes around, the sun's not there anymore, and hopefully the other team has dropped a few balls.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I can't tell you how excited I was to see your name in that initial pile. I loved calling your references, and I think I shared that after we hired you. I feel like you should call your references and either buy them a bottle or give them a hug, because the amount of love they showed towards you was off the charts. But you know, it's funny talking to some people that I know, you know, outside of Buttes and even outside of Montana, a couple when we hired you, there were people that were giving me the Tech's track team is going to be almost impossible to beat now, and I'm not talking just frontier teams. I'm talking some big sky teams that are going to have real trouble getting people ahead of Montana Tech. And I thought that was it was funny because I heard it from multiple people. So it was a heck of a hire, and I love having you on campus. I mean, just a huge addition.
Well, I feel really blessed to be here, and it's the first year, and you can just see where it's going. I'm hoping it keeps keeps going, and I'm just excited to be out here getting after it.
Hey, thank you, Chuck. Chuck Merrifield, our new track coach here at Montana Tech. One indoor season under his belt, and the outdoor season just getting underway. And can't wait to see what that outdoor season looks like for Montana Tech Athletics. So, again, my thanks to Coach Merrifield, and thanks for joining us here on Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. Coming up, we have a lot on the docket as we will check in with Athletic Director Matt Steppen, and we will talk about the Frontier Conference expansion. We'll talk about the possible Hyper expansion and a whole lot else. I know it's starting to sound like the Jimmy Kimmel running gag with Matt Damon running out of time, but we will talk to our athletic director, Matt Steppen, and then from there, we have a lot of great stuff coming up. So as always, thanks for joining us here for Roll Digs. And until next time, remember to like, share, subscribe, leave a comment or a review, and we'll see you next time for Roll Digs.